Webster defines the word amnesty as the voluntary overlooking of an offense by the one offended. In a second definition, Webster reads, the act of an authority by which general pardon of an offense is granted often before trial or conviction. You and I have seen in our society displays of amnesty. I'm not turned on. I thought I felt something. Libraries making public announcement that they will forgive the penalties if people will return books that have been long past due. The Internal Revenue Service offering to forego the interest penalties of taxes of previous years that have not yet been reported. Amnesty given to delinquent fathers in the state of Arizona at times to get those who have not made their payments to wives for the support of children if they will come forward and begin to do what's right. One of my best friends' name was Bob Baxter. Bob is a sergeant for the Phoenix Police Department, and he worked undercover. And they had this great amnesty program. If people would come and turn in their guns, and it was a sting operation to get the people to come and reveal themselves as perpetrators of evil. And they offered in this amnesty program certain rewards for these felons to come in. And while that might well have been a devious ploy on the part of the police, it sets forth that we, from a physical standpoint, understand the concept of amnesty. I believe that you can dissect that word and you can come up with six characteristics of amnesty that will teach us a good spiritual lesson. First of all, amnesty is offered in the case of an offense being committed. Nobody suggests in amnesty that the lack of punishment is due to innocence. Amnesty is offered because someone is guilty of something. Second, amnesty is always offered by the authority. I've never heard of an amnesty program that's being brought about by those that were guilty. The people that owe money to the IRS cannot say, look, if you'll start filing your taxes along with me, we don't have to pay the penalty. It's offered by the authority and not by anyone else. Third, amnesty offers incentive to change. To give a person a reason that is not readily available in order to produce a change in life. Fourth, amnesty is in each case where the guilty is not forgiven of punishment until they take advantage of the offer. When the offer was made by the Phoenix Public Libraries, people were not freed of the debt that they owed to the library for having a book too long until they took advantage of bringing the book back. And that's characteristic. Just because amnesty is offered doesn't exonerate the guilty. There were a lot of people that were guilty that didn't take advantage of the amnesty that remained to be guilty. just because they had knowledge of the offer didn't help them. Fifth, in each case, there was a time limit, a time after which the people that deserved punishment could no longer escape punishment by following the rules of amnesty. You do it before a certain date. Now, that date may be extended, but there's always a stopping point with regard to amnesty. Finally, there's always a cost of offering amnesty. The Phoenix Public Library lost, I suppose that's a good word, a couple of $100,000 if those people that owed that much would have paid it. They actually didn't lose anything because those people that owed it wasn't going to pay it. But there's a cost. There's never amnesty unless there's a cost that is absolved by the one offering amnesty. I doubt that anyone that sits here tonight has seen something in this dissection of amnesty that you didn't already know. You may not have written them down, but you knew this, right? Amnesty is a great spiritual concept. It's the very core of Christianity. Don't get ahead of me. Because you're getting ahead of me. We can see in each one of these things, I thought about not even putting them up there, so you wouldn't do that, Ryan. We can see in each one of these things a clear, plain, simple message concerning what we have been given by God. I've got to tell you that if you're looking for something complex, you got to look somewhere other than God. Because God designed a program that even Lance and I can understand. That even I can understand. You know, its simplicity is what makes it so beautiful. And amnesty is at the very core of what God designed even before He designed the earth. Before there was creation, God come up with a plan of amnesty to provide for those if they became guilty. Isn't that something? That God would care about people. That God in His infinite wisdom would know Tom Boren and Ken Leach so well that He provided a system of amnesty before we even were created. That in itself makes me appreciate God, makes me want to worship God. Well, here's the spiritual application, but remember the definition. Amnesty is the voluntary overlooking of an offense by the one offended. Amnesty is the voluntary overlooking of one who commits sin. Who is the one that is offended when sin is committed? Isaiah 59:2 answers that. God is offended. Now, if I do certain things, act in a certain way, I may offend Bob Dill. But I can sin in a lot of ways that doesn't offend Bob Dill. I can sin in my thought process. And no matter how close you are to me, you may not know that. But God knows. And I have offended God, haven't I? And the offense of that act to God separates me from Him. It brings about death. That's what death is, a separation, is it not? So then, if I sin, the voluntary overlooking of that sin by the one offended equals amnesty. Second definition, the act of an authority by which general pardon of an offense is granted often before trial or conviction. Who is the authority over things spiritual? Turn in your Bible to Psalms, the 47th chapter. Clap your hands, all people. Shout to God with the voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. He subdues people under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob, whom he loves. God hath ascended with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. God reigns over the nation. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. That's a psalm of praise, of recognition, of authority of God. Verse 8, he reigns over nations. So let's see how the characteristics of amnesty fit God and us. We're the players. God and Ken. God and Glenn. The authority and the one needing amnesty. That's the players. How does it work? There has been an offense committed. It's sin. Romans 3:23. For all have what? Sinned. There's the offense. And fallen short of the glory of God. That's why we need pardon. We sin. Not complex. Pardon is the only thing that brings us back to connection. When we decide to accept the amnesty, we get the pardon. So then, Isaiah 59:2 and Romans 6:23 tells us the effects of sin on our life, that the wages of sin is death, and Romans 3:23 identifies, along with 1 John 1 and verse 10, those guilty of sin. And just as in the physical, nobody who is pardoned by God escapes punishment because of their innocence. We're not innocent. We're forgiven. We've received amnesty. Ephesians 2 verse 8 then becomes crystal clear with that in our mind. For by grace you have been saved. It is a gift of God. When the Phoenix Public Library forgave a person of their fees for lateness, they were forgiven. By whose grace? The Phoenix Public Library's grace. See how that works? Second, it's offered by the authority. You know what that does? That shows you just how wrong do your own thing is in religion. There is no do your own thing. I ask you, is it narrow-minded, the system that God set up? Absolutely. It is narrow in scope. Narrow is a pathway that leads to life. There is one God. There is one way. That's narrow-minded. If you have trouble with being narrow-minded, you have trouble with being a Christian. It's our society that makes narrow-minded bad. Narrow-minded doesn't make narrow-minded bad because God's way is perfect. Who wouldn't want to be on the narrow, perfect way? Every other way has imperfections, but not God's way. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23 says, O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps. John 3 and 16, perhaps the most quoted passage in all of the Bible. For God so loved that he gave. Who is it that offers everlasting life? The authority offers everlasting life. The people were incited to change through amnesty. So salvation is an incentive. It is the most basic, the most wonderful incentive program that there is. It's everlasting life. It's escaping hellfire. Is that an incentive? We are blessed at times to have up close examples that we can use to further our spiritual maturity. We are blessed that way today. I want you to stop and think about the blessing. We this day have met someone who is suffering because their mother was seriously burned. Do you see the tears in his eyes? You see the horror in his face? You see the repulsiveness of his thought when he thinks about his mom being in the condition she's in? Do you see that? Hellfire is worse than that. Is that an incentive? Well, it is to me. Would it not be to everybody? We use these things that we come in contact with to better ourselves in our relationship with the authority that's offering us amnesty, a way out of these things. It is a fool that sees things up close and personal on a routine basis that doesn't use that information to improve. Jason would not keep an employee that did not improve because of circumstances. Nick would not keep a person at McDonald's. No, it's not McDonald's, is it? At Chick-fil-A. If his people didn't use instances in order to better themselves, that's what we understand that. The incentive that we've been offered through this program of amnesty makes us better. And it also removes any excuse that we might have for not getting better. Because the judgment of each of us is individual. I don't have to measure up to Rick Moore's performance to ability. I have to measure up to my performance, to my ability. Thank God for that. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, the Bible says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You want to know how many people God wants to take advantage of the amnesty program? Everybody. That's his desire. In Galatians 2 and verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's Paul talking about the change that is made in his life that was motivated by the incentives given to him through the program of amnesty presented by God. The offer must be accepted to avoid the punishment. There are those that understand the offer, but choose not to accept. Why would you think that there will be amnesty? It makes no sense. If you choose to reject the offer, you choose to accept the punishment. That's what we do when we refuse to accept the offer of God. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest." Jesus didn't say, "Hey Dale, you wait, and I'll come to you." He said, "Dale, you come to me, and I'll give you rest." The Phoenix Library didn't say, "Hey, Dennis, you just stay there with your past due book. We'll come to you." No. They said, "Hey, Dennis, we're at Central and McDowell. You come to us." So there's a... Is that not just normal? Not expecting anything that's unusual. There's no Holy Spirit zapping here that results in salvation. Could God have designed a system whereby he just zapped people that he wanted to have saved and did it that? Sure, he could have. But he didn't. He designed another system. And he explained it to us. Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21 through 23, there's information that's available to us concerning the fact that we must accept in order to avoid punishment. In Acts 26, verses 28 and 29, there's information available to us that shows that information concerning the program isn't enough. That knowledge isn't enough, that it takes action. There's also a time limit. Raise your hand if you know what the time limit is of God's offer. Well, we don't. But there is a time limit. And it's given to us in very specific terms. It's like a thief in the night. It's a surprise kind of a thing. And it's going to happen. John 9 and verse 4. The night is coming when no one can work. There will be an end to the program. Remember the parable in Matthew 25 of the wise and the foolish virgins. There is a too late. The statement, "It's never too late," is inaccurate. When the last breath is taken, it's too late to change. Sometimes before that. When the process of reasoning, process of assimilating information and making decisions on that information, when that ends, even though one might be breathing, time has passed. The curfew has fallen. And just like the physical, there's a cost for the offer. Look at Isaiah 53. I'd like to read with you concerning the cost of the program, verses 4, 5, and 6. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to our own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. That's the cost. And it's been paid. It's been paid in full. We sing the song, Jesus paid it all. He did. There's not anything left to pay. The debt has been canceled through the death of Jesus Christ. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. When time is gone, what will you hear? Boy, what a thought. When time is gone, what will you hear? Matthew 7:23, depart from me. The worst three words that you could possibly hear. Matthew 25:23, well done. The best two words that you could possibly hear. It's up to us. So if Jesus Christ were to ask you, as you were Thomas with the others who said, I want to see the prints in his hands. Did you notice that Thomas wasn't condemned for that? I want to see the prints in his hand. So let's say that you, by your disposition, has said, I want to see the prints in his hands. And he said, I'll give you a message that is so clear and so backed up by miraculous things that you can do nothing but believe that message if you're honest and want to know the answer. If he's done that, and he showed us his power and presented his amnesty, and we say, no thank you, what will we deserve? A rhetorical question. And that's an incentive. But it's not as much an incentive as knowing what we will get if we accept the amnesty. That's the beauty of it. Be a Christian. Come while we stand and sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come.